Hey y'all, how's it going? It's me, Pink Cloud 9, and I have a really special guest today. Daniel is going to tell us the story of the night that an intruder came into his home. How startling is that? I mean, I'd be like, where's my bat? You know, or something. I don't know what I would do, to be honest. So, Daniel, please tell us the story, you know, what happened, how it happened. Long ago it happened, you know, stuff like that.
It was it's almost 10 years ago now. It was on Mother's Day, in the middle of the night, and at the time my husband and I, we have three children, and I had a baby girl, and she was a week old at that point. And my son, who was 11 at the time, an intruder came into his window and was just talking nonsense. And so my son came to get me, and he goes, Dad, there's somebody here. And I thought, oh, someone's at the door. Okay, well, that's odd. It's the middle of the night. My son's really bad at not explaining things.
How old was he at the time?
He was 11. He said, right. Somebody's here. I don't know what to do. And I was like, okay. So I came downstairs in my bathrobe, and there's this man standing in my living room, and he has this wide-eyed, like, weird look on his face. And very calmly, he says, have you seen Blue? I'm like, I'm sorry. Who the hell are you? Mm-hmm. Have you seen Blue? I can't find him anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and the fact that I'm a psychotherapist is a totally random fact of this story. Okay. He had no idea he was breaking into the home of a therapist. He had no idea. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at him and he was barefoot. Mm-hmm. And he was sort of disheveled. And he had a flannel shirt on and he looked really confused.
Yeah.
And I was just paralyzed because I thought, does he have a gun like in his waist strap? Does he have a buddy around the corner who's waiting for like just the right time? I didn't know what I was dealing with. Yeah. And I mean, as a therapist, I thought, okay, I got to figure out what the deal is here. So I'm like trying to talk to this guy. And I said, you have to leave. You have to leave now. Yeah. And the one thing I regret is I was so scared. Mm-hmm. I couldn't move. I literally could not move. And he was standing standing between me and my daughter's nursery. Yeah. And I kept thinking to myself, I have to get to my baby. I have to get to my baby. And I felt so horrible because I literally could not move. And then mm-hmm. I thought, as of right now, he doesn't know my baby's there. He has no idea she's in there. The door looks like a closet. If I just don't react, he'll leave her alone. And he was probably there having a dialogue with me and completely a dialogue that wasn't even based in reason or logic, probably for about 10 minutes, but it felt like an hour.
Wow. So
my husband was on the phone with 911 trying to get the police out. But I didn't know what I was dealing with. And
yeah.
It was just, my kids were screaming and crying upstairs and this man was just confused. So
right.
the police finally got there after what seemed like an eternity, right as the guy had just very quietly left out the front door. He just walked out. And to me, that was more terrifying for some reason, because I thought, why is he so calm? Where did he go now? Now what's he going to do? Is he going to get his buddies? Is he going, you know, I didn't know. And long story short, they arrested him and he was put in prison. But even at the moment, I could tell this man was not well. He wasn't asking for money. He wasn't wielding any weapons. He was either really high or completely psychotic. I didn't know which. I didn't care which.
Okay. So he did get arrested.
Yes, he did. He did.
Well, do you know like anything about that? Did he, do you know how much time he did? Do you know if he ever came?
Yeah, he got 5 years and I got a letter from the court asking if I wanted to testify and I declined.
Right.
And then I got a letter like a year later saying that he was eligible for early release. And if I wanted to dispute that, I actually did not. And this is why, you know, I'm a specialist in trauma. Again, totally ironic that this happened to me. There's no connection whatsoever.
Right.
But I thought, you know, this man is profoundly mentally ill, clearly. He wasn't in his right mind at all. Had no idea what he was doing.
Right.
If I make him stay in prison longer, probably without medication, without treatment, whatever, what is that going to do? What is that going to help? You know?
Sure. I get it. Plus, I mean, like, whether he remembers or not, he knows where you live.
Exactly, exactly. I live in a small town. People know me. And I believe me, that crossed my mind too. People often ask me, do you wish you had a gun? And I'm glad I didn't have a gun because I was so scared I may have shot him.
Right.
And then what would I have? Like a manslaughter case in my hands with my therapy license. I mean, it creates all different kinds of trauma.
Yeah.
Maybe it would have escalated the situation. I don't know. But
so he got 5 years for breaking and entering or what? What was the charge?
He got 5 years for breaking and entering and menacing because he stayed there like just taunting. He wasn't taunting us, but in my mind, it felt like it because I didn't know who this man was, right? But, you know, after the police left, I laid in bed and I sobbed, just uncontrollably sobbed. Mm-hmm. And I was more scared after the fact than I was during it. You know, when it happened, I just felt like I was a statue and I felt like I was the worst father in the world because I didn't do anything to protect my children. But I realize now that I did exactly what I should have done, which is just downplay it and not draw attention to my daughter's room.
Now, I'm going to ask you this. How did he get through the window, though? Like, how did that happen?
It was not locked. We live out in the middle of nowhere. And ironically, what I've found that there is more crime that happens out in the country that's not reported than there is in the inner cities, in my personal experience.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are stats that may differ from that, but that's been my personal experience. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked to learn that.
Yeah, because a lot of people, for some people, it might be embarrassing. Oh my gosh, somebody broke into my house,
right.
Because I left it unlocked because it's safe here.
Right.
They don't report it, or they don't want the police at their homes. You know,
right. It's
a bunch of reasons why people don't report, you know, certain things. So you know his name. Did you his first and last name? Did you ever research his name, his family? I don't know. I probably would have. I mean, like, who is this guy? Why did he come? Mental health issues? Like, mm-hmm. What?
I did do a little Facebook stalking, I'm not gonna lie. And I didn't find anything terribly alarming, just typical Appalachian, you know, blue collar family, with probably some mental health issues and probably some substance abuse from what I can tell from some of the posts. So nothing surprising there, but I did have to consider that I live in a small town. He knows where I live. People know me, people know him that know me. I thought, how would I want to be treated if, God forbid, I had a psychotic break and did something really stupid? And that's kind of what I thought about. Now, had he been violent, would I have a different take? Probably. But the fact that his mental illness was clearly the precipitating factor for him being in my home made me look at it a little bit differently. But it was no less terrifying because I didn't know what he was capable of, you know?
Yeah. Around about his age? Was he like in his early 20s, late 40s? I don't know.
I would say mid-30s.
Okay.
Mid-30s, yeah. And he was speaking as though he was speaking to someone else who wasn't there. And today I believe that to be just psychosis, but I didn't know if there was actually someone there or not.
Like schizoaffective?
Maybe paranoid schizophrenia, maybe schizoaffective, but clearly he was
high, like hallucinating. Who knows, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I didn't know, didn't care, but right. I did notice, number one, he was barefoot. And that was odd because that tells me that it wasn't a planned break-in. He was just out walking around, is my guess, in the middle of the night.
Did he get drug tested or urine or blood analysis or anything like that? I mean, this was 10 years ago, so.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Did he do like a blower or something? I don't know.
I'm sure they did once they booked him. That's sort of standard procedure around here. And I'm sure the toxicology came back in the paperwork I received, but it's been so long that I didn't think about it. But
sure.
if I had to guess, it was probably some combination of meth and psychosis.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay, so let's talk about a little bit. Thank you for sharing your story so much.
Sure.
Let's talk a little bit about how you have coped with that, like, shock and incident. And how has your 11-year-old coped? You know what I mean? Was he scared as heck?
Oh, he was terrified. He was absolutely terrified. To this day, he locks his windows. And we live in a different home now. but we live in a two-story home, and he's upstairs, but he still locks his windows.
Of course.
Just because he can't stand the idea of it not being locked. My son had an anxiety disorder before this happened, okay, which has now been exacerbated that he's now on medication for it.
Right.
In terms of how it's affected me, I was never a person to lock my doors. And whether that's being naive or too trusting, it's just, I was never one of those people, but I lock my doors now. Every door is locked, every window is locked. I look over my shoulder a lot more than I used to. I think in the beginning it was, I looked over my shoulder out of fear, but now it just feels like good practice, you know? It just feels like some common sense stuff that sort of seeped into my head that I had the luxury of not having to worry about before.
Right. Well, I've always been a window and door lock and all that, a lock. Mm-hmm. And now that we have access to cameras in the home and alarms and all this stuff. But when I'm out and about, I also carry mace and a taser.
Yep. You know what's weird? I have three dogs and they did not make a sound. And they're not mean dogs, but they're usually dogs that would bark if a stranger comes in the driveway. And I still find it odd they did not make a peep. And I remember in the moment thinking, because I was in the middle of the night, I was asleep. So I was trying to wake up and figure out what the heck was going on in my home. And I thought, if the dogs didn't make any noise, this must be someone who's supposed to be here. I wasn't thinking logically. But I still think it's so weird. My dogs did not make a sound. I have no idea why.
That is kind of peculiar. Yeah. Okay, last question. What would you do different?
You know, I don't think I would do anything differently. I don't. I'm very grateful that although I was frozen, and I beat myself up about that for a long time, mm-hmm, I really did the right thing. And I feel in my heart I wouldn't have done anything differently. I didn't escalate the situation. I made sure I maintained eye contact to try to keep his attention. And I'm proud of what I did.
Cool. That's perfect. Yep. So let's speak a little bit about Wild Ohio Therapy Farm.
Yeah.
Tell us about what that's all about. Sounds amazing.
Yeah. So like I said, the fact that I just happened to be the local town therapist was completely random as far as I know, breaking into my home. But I have a 6-acre farm where I conduct psychotherapy for people of all ages, specifying in trauma, again, ironically, and which has helped me tremendously, by the way.
Yeah.
And I have some farm animals, some exotic animals, and people can spend time in their therapy session outdoors with nature and animals, learning how to address mental health symptoms, to de-escalate trauma symptoms. And we have animals like alpaca, we have tame foxes, we have goats, we have raccoons, and all these animals were either rescued as orphans or raised in captivity, and people can spend time with the animals during a session instead of inside under a cold clinical setting with fluorescent lights. And it's especially helpful for adolescents and young people.
So do people get to, like, pet the raccoons?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
You know, because they're so cute. I mean, they're animals, you know? And they're just
People.
But obviously they run from us.
Yeah, of course.
They're out here, you know?
I tell people, you know how, like, a lot of adolescents, especially teenage boys, have a hard time talking about their feelings, right? There's this stereotype that boys don't talk about their feelings.
Neither do girls. Not these days.
Yeah. So what I do is I might tell a client of mine, look at that raccoon and tell me what you think that raccoon might be feeling based on its body language and what sounds it's making. Right. And most people will say, oh, he looks angry because he's growling or his hair is puffed up. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I say, oh, well, what sounds and words do you use to let people know in your family that you're upset or that you're angry? Mm-hmm. And how do people know how you feel? Mm-hmm. And so we use reading animals' body language as a direct parallel to how we communicate with people in our ecosystem or our family. And that works really well because people tend to resonate with animals.
Right. Absolutely. Wow. Mm-hmm. Cool. Thank you so much for being here. Again, So just for people that are listening or watching, or both, mm-hmm. Because this will be also on Spotify and other platforms. Daniel has his website there on the screen, but also it's going to be in the description. So y'all can check out his awesome website. It's got, you know, Meet Our Animals, ecotherapy, services, coming attractions, public speaking. Do you do public speaking?
I do public speaking. I sure do. Yep.
Nice. Cool. Awesome. Thanks. Well, yeah. Any other last thoughts or words?
Yeah, I'm working on a book, actually. It should be out by the end of this year, I'm hoping. That's about a memoir of trauma, and it's called When the Bed Bugs Bite. So be on the lookout for that. That will be on my website. But I encourage anybody who's experienced any kind of traumatic event or crime to please, please, please get help. Contact a local therapist. Yeah. There's no shame whatsoever in having difficulty functioning afterwards, because I know I certainly did.
Yeah. There's also a national hotline for suicide hotline.
Yes.
That you can, like, if anybody's experienced some kind of like a suicidal thoughts or whatnot, you can, you don't have to call. You can actually just text, and it's obviously anonymous. They don't record your phone number, and also you can use whatever name you want. And then you just kind of just text and chat with, like, I'm feeling this way, I don't know. And then there's domestic violence shelters in a lot of the big cities, but also probably in some small towns around the country as well.
Sure.
And then as far as trauma, what, I guess I'll ask you this last question. What if someone has suffered some sort of trauma, whatever that might be, whether it's an intruder or maybe even if, because that's psychological trauma, and it's also emotional trauma and mental trauma.
Yes. Right?
What about, like, so what sort of techniques or type of therapy would you consider for someone that would have gone through, like, some kind of emotional, you know?
There's a few different things. I mean, anxiety is the most sort of long-term likely side effect from trauma that people experience. But when it first happens, or shortly after it happens, people will experience acute anxiety that often results in panic. And when panic happens, and you stay in that panicky place and you can't function, there is a therapy called EMDR therapy, which is really helpful for traumatic events. It has a, like, over 90% success rate in treating trauma, highly effective. And then there's also anxiety traumas, like cognitive behavioral therapy, sort of gets you out of your head and back into the space where you are, so you're not in the what-if zone. Because anxiety is all about thinking, oh God, what if this would have happened? What if that would have happened? So PTSD, anxiety are the two biggest side effects or consequences, but EMDR therapy and CBT therapy are two of the most helpful things that I know of.
Perfect. That is awesome. Thank you so much. And I could talk to you forever, but, you know, time is precious. So
yes, it is.
Thank you so much for being here, and let's stay in contact.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Take care.
Thank you so much.